I want to acknowledge Kelsey, who is making her debut on this side of the glass, normally in the control room, but she is joining us in studio today.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be on this side of the mic. Annette, do you like ghost stories?
No.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. I think you've been unequivocal through this whole process.
No, I do not. Ever since I was a little kid, they've scared me half to death, and I'm way into adulthood now. I don't want any parts of them.
Yeah, we've been hearing about your aversion to ghost stories for like a week now, but we're going to get you into it. There's still hope. As you know, Kelsey and I found a local ghost story that's really spooky.
And that also tells us something about the early history of Philadelphia.
And to the best of our knowledge, most of it really happened.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Kelsey Hansen. And this is The Why.
Nice job, Kelsey.
Thanks.
Actually, it was really bright and sunny, not a cloud in the sky. So I met up with Kelsey and our other producer, Alex Stern, out in Wissahickon Park in northwest Philadelphia.
Hey. Hello.
You guys found it.
We found it.
So we met up with Chris Safa. And Chris, I have to say, really made an impression on us. Well, why don't you describe what Chris was doing when we approached her.
Right. We round the corner and we start to hear this kind of flute music.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm just rehearsing my song.
Oh, thank and you. And Chris is there. So,
my name is Chris Safa, and I'm a trail ambassador for the Friends of the Wissahickon, and I also serve on the Parks and Recreation Commission.
And she's kind of dressed in Like Renaissance?
Yeah, I would call it maybe Renaissance. Lots of like large jewelry, like a lot of bracelets.
A lot of like flowy, like, you know, fairy robes.
And wearing like a like an ivy crown. ivy around her.
She's into it. She's fully committed to telling us the story.
Could you point us in the right direction to get us started?
And she then points us in the direction of this cave, which we then go and try to find.
Oh, I see a stone marker. Up here. Straight ahead.
That might be it.
I thought we were going to get lost for a minute, but somebody helpfully pointed us in the right direction. Do you know where this thing called the Cave of Kelpius?
You mean the Hermit Cave?
The Hermit Cave, yeah.
You're there.
I'm here?
Like, literally, you see this path goes off here, that's it.
Okay.
Perfect.
We made it, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So, we got into this cave, and it was dark in there.
Oh, Annette would not have liked this.
I think she would have loved it.
Am I going first?
Yes.
All right. And I turned on my phone flashlight.
This is useless in here.
Which did nothing to cut the darkness. And it was kind of wet in there, and there was a lot of things dripping on us.
What?
And
this is a dark, damp cave.
Ah. Dank, I think, is what you're searching for.
It just dripped on me.
Oh, wonderful.
Were there any bats in there?
No bats.
Because you know
feel
I
safe.
Don't do bats.
I know you don't do bats.
That's
told
why
me.
I stayed here.
Yeah. There were no bats, but we did find...
We just found this on the ground.
This is shell with a...
With the magic
like a,
stone.
It was kind of like a shell with like a piece of quartz tied to it with maybe some kind of wire or... I'm not really sure. Is it magic?
It is now.
Okay.
Why was that in the cave?
So we'll get to that in a minute, but what you should know is...
So, Chris, where are we standing right now?
We are standing in the Lost Cave of the Wissahickon, home of the first doomsday cult in the United States.
Say what?
Yeah, it was this guy named Johannes Kelpius. He was this monk who came to the colonies.
Kelpius was born in Transylvania.
And he came here to wait for the end of the world, which he thought was coming in the year 1700.
Okay, I'll ask it. Why did he think the world was ending?
Because they were kind of part of this fringy Christian movement that happened in the 17th century called Pietism. And Pietism relied on this kind of elaborate interpretation of the Book of Revelation. That's the one with all the fire and brimstone and apocalypse and stuff.
To be saved and be in God's grace, to prepare for that means you would go into the wilderness and be in solitude and pray and meditate.
So Kelpius gathered his 40 followers, got in a boat, and came here to Philly.
Why here, though?
First of all, that passage in the Book of Revelation mentions a woman who fled into the wilderness to escape the end of the world. And at that time, this area was kind of the end of the known world.
So they traveled from Europe to the edge of our continent, and then up the Schuylkill River to Philadelphia, then up the Wissahickon Creek to the Hermit's Glen, as we call it now, which is really the end of the colonist settlement.
But another reason is because around this time, a lot of religious minorities were leaving Europe and coming here. I think that was because William Penn had kind of established Pennsylvania as this place where people could come and practice their non-traditional religions.
What else did these folks believe?
They were mystics. They practiced things like alchemy and new medicine and astronomy, all things that were pretty far out there for the time period. People even think they had America's first telescope.
Wow.
He built the first observatory in the New World on the top of his tabernacle.
So they built this colony, and then 1700 rolls around, and the world doesn't end. So what do they do?
Yeah, they stayed there. They liked the religious freedom that the area gave them, and they kind of appreciated having this quiet life. They were monks, after all. And eventually, they kind of dispersed around Pennsylvania. We don't really know what happened to them afterward, but we do know that Kelpius did leave one big mystery.
Okay, I'm into it now. What's the mystery?
I will tell you right after we take a quick break.
Oh, geez.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. It's Halloween, and we're talking about the Cave of Kelpius.
Okay, we're back from break, Kelsey. I want to know what this mystery was.
So Kelpius was convinced that he wasn't actually going to die. He thought that God was just going to kind of take him away from this world, but that he wasn't going to die like a normal person. So as he was preparing to be taken into the next life,
his trusted servant and assistant was told to take Kelpius's box.
He told him to take this box
down to the creek and throw it in the water.
And to not come back until he did.
When he got down to the creek, the man realized, this is too valuable and I want to keep this information. So he hid the box along the edge of the water.
He hid it in some bushes and he came back and he said, I did what you wanted, I threw the box away.
Then he went back to Kelpius. And the interesting part is that
Kelpius, on the brink of death, apparently rose up from his bed,
pointed to the man,
and said, Daniel, thou hast not done as I bid thee.
Go back down and throw it in the water.
Ooh.
And this terrified his assistant, who ran immediately back down, all the way down the trail to the creek,
grabbed the box and did what he was supposed to do,
and threw it with all his might way out into the water.
And legend has it that
when it hit the water, a thunderous explosion was heard in the valley. There was lightning and flashes of color in the sky.
So what was in the box?
That's what I wanted to know. No one quite knows for sure what was in the box, but some people say it was the Philosopher's Stone, which is sometimes called
the Sorcerer's Stone.
Ooh, get the stone!
If you've read the Harry Potter books, you know what the Sorcerer's Stone is.
Yeah.
And the idea was the Sorcerer's Stone could turn lead into gold. It was also a key to eternal life. And so one of the theories is that Kelpius thought this was just too powerful for people to wield. This is like too powerful a tool for people to wield. That's why he wanted it thrown into the river so nobody could have it. But how he knew that his disciple hadn't done as he asked and thrown it into the river. Nobody knows.
It's just so sad to think that Kelpius's magic is all forgotten.
I thought so too, and that's kind of why I was interested in this story to begin with. But we asked Chris about this, and she thinks that even though the magic part is gone, that Kelpius still has a legacy in Philly.
Well, the thing I like about it, and I like to share with people, is the reason that Philadelphia is here was because William Penn was kicked out of England for being in a cult. So it makes perfect sense that Kelpius was welcome here.
And you know, Annette, remember that relic that we were talking about that we found there?
Right.
This is also kind of the legacy of this cave, is that it's kind of still used by people who, you know, maybe have some non-traditional beliefs.
Yeah, like the local, like Wiccans and groups like that.
People make offerings. I think people are fascinated by the things that cross the line between what we know now, quote unquote, as hard science and the mystical occult.
And that's probably what was, they probably just left that there when they were doing one of their ceremonies.
Especially because of the tradition of Halloween, when the line is supposed to be thin, it brings out a lot of folks that want to get some chills, get scared, or just have a supernatural experience.
So the other way that Kelpius's legacy lives on is in the woods themselves. See, Kelpius died shortly after that encounter with his disciple Daniel, and they never found his body. People have combed through those woods, and they never found, you know, the remains of Kelpius. And some people say that around Halloween, you can hear this.
At twilight.
I couldn't necessarily tell myself, but Chris was definitely sensing something spiritual in the air at the time, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. And she says that's one of the reasons that she likes to give these tours, is that she definitely believes that there's still something happening in the woods by the cave.
A lot of people are interested in what those funny sounds are, what the lights look like, why the wind blows in circles sometimes, and other mysterious things that we cannot explain. That's the whole interesting part about Halloween.
So, he's probably still there.
And that's why I won't be going to Wissahickon Park anytime soon. Y'all can go.
I think we took a backward step with this story in terms of convincing Annette to come out there.
Y'all have fun.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks for sharing, guys.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
To see photos of our adventure to the cave, go to whyy.org/the Y. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Tweet your cool Halloween photos to @ShaiBenYaakov. Happy Halloween. See you on Monday.
The box exploded, and there was a bunch of lightning and thunder, and it was a whole big ordeal.
Whoa. All right.
Well, what? No? Okay.
What was in the box?